Yeah, I appreciate that suggestion about Peter. I was thinking too, we might not say that God loses his temper, because maybe that's kind of our weakness, right? That we. But I know exactly what you meant there when you were alluding to that, Tim. God is angry about the things that should be angry. God is angry with the wicked every day. It says, I think, in Psalm 9. And this long suffering is, it's macro suffering, long tempered, macro tempered. You study microbiology or you study macrobiology. It's the big picture. And it's a sense of, if we can impose that meaning into that, it helps us maybe to appreciate it even more, that we look at the big picture when we're enduring the things that might disturb our natural selves, because we're long suffering. And this is really the progression is very realistic, because we might be seeking the Lord to really appreciate the character of humility and the character of meekness and gentleness, and then we step outside our door and right away it's put to the test, because now I've got to have a lot of patience, I've got to have a long temper, I've got to have a very aware sense that I've got to live with other people, just like you were saying. And this idea of forbearing one another, bearing with one another in love, you probably might have seen the poster where somebody's praying and says, Lord, I want to thank you that it's been a really good day. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't complained. I haven't been upset, but I'll be getting out of bed soon. And I'm really going to need your help then, right? And that's the way this is, that we have to put this into practice with people. Otherwise, it really isn't embedded in our character the way it's to be, the way it was with the Lord Jesus. Sam?
Question I have. I'm always practical. How can I put that into practice? Help me out. How can I do it?
Stay in bed.
Well, I think it's training. I mean, what I mean is not that we train ourselves, but in that sense, the verses in Hebrews that's coming to my mind about by reason of use, we have exercised ourselves to discern between good and bad. And in that sense, maybe we can bring that thought into this context, that there's an awareness of it, first of all, that it's not our natural situation. It's not our natural condition. So then we get into a situation where it's going to be put to the test, and we really have to trust the Lord that His Spirit, who, by the way, wants to produce Christ in us. Mm. So if we're putting ourselves in the mindset, I want the Lord to help me learn this lesson, He will help me learn that lesson. It's not going to be an easy lesson. It's a hard lesson, because it means repudiating all of our learning, all our natural inclinations and so on. But He will help us learn the lesson. And then the Spirit of God will say, this is the time. This is, you know, practice session number one. And then we just have to ask the Lord's help to learn the lesson. I was thinking of David, who, when he was fleeing the city, when Absalom had that insurrection, and basically David and those who were loyal to him had to flee Jerusalem, there was a man who came alongside the armies of David and was throwing stones and dust at David and cursing him. And one of David's men said, let me just go and take off the head of that dog. And David said, I think it's around 2 Samuel 16 maybe, he said, just leave him alone. It may be that God has said to him, curse David. So I'm just going to have to learn the lesson. Now, there's a sort of a part two to that story. There's a sequel. At the end of David's life, David said, you remember that man Shimei who was cursing me? You don't let him get away with that without making his wrong evidence. But it wasn't going to be David's job to say, let's go kill him right now. David said, put himself in the position of, I'm going to see if God has a lesson for me. And it's training, so that when somebody, I bristle at something, the Spirit of God says, this is the lesson, and we have to start to learn it. I don't know if that's really an answer, you know, from a verse, but I think that's the training that we have to experience.
Mark, there's a verse I had to share, but I don't want to keep Mark. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror or glass the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that the more I become focused upon Christ, the more I enjoy Christ, the Spirit of God will be doing that work in me. It's not me making the effort, because I can't do it. I really have to abandon myself and admit, I just honestly, Lord, I cannot do it. But the Spirit of God, as I'm occupied with Christ, I think the more I'm occupied with Christ and I am enjoying Him, that is produced in me, rather than me trying to produce it.
Scripture says, it's by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. And that's in Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's the same word, transformation, transform. And it's metamorphosis. And so it's only used four times in Scripture, twice for the Lord and twice for us. And so it's very important that we are in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. If I'm not in the Word of God, I cannot expect to be able to, in a practical sense, defeat these things that come in my life. I have to be in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, as I'm in the Word of God, I'm not searching Scriptures to find a verse against that brother. Mm-hmm. People do that. But I'm in the Scriptures to see Christ. Mm-hmm. And as I see Christ, mm-hmm. that's when the transformation happens. So just those two things connected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the things to really appreciate, I made the comment earlier when we looked at chapter 2, what you have is two people from completely diverse cultures. There are going to be things that are you just don't understand. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to understand why, you know, I'm a Ephesian, I'm a Gentile. I don't understand why you're making a big thing about how your lamb was killed before you eat it. Let's eat it, man. But how we make such big things out of what are differences because of the way God made us. And it says all of that gets suppressed under the reality, or we learn to grow and to help and to forbear and to be long suffering one with another as we work through those kinds of differences that we might inherently have. But then the next secret is this big word, endeavoring. So here we have the internal characteristics of meekness and lowliness. We have the tolerant level of a cooperation between us. But then we have a common driver. This word endeavor, very strong word. It means to be diligent. It means to be intentional. It means to be focused. It means to have a single purpose, endeavoring. What is it that we endeavor to do? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of energy. We place a lot of energy into a lot of things. A lot of us put a lot of energy into our careers. A lot of put energy into our education. A lot of us put a lot of energy into, you know, our families. We put a lot of energy into the things that we really hold dear to. And so the word endeavoring then just kind of emphasizes the fact that there is to be an energy and a focus to appreciate the calling to which we're called and to live it out in reality. So the word endeavoring is another secret. What's my focus? What am I diligent about? Am I diligent about realizing and appreciating the fellowship to which we're called, the union to which we're called, the fact that we're called to in one body and we're called to serve together? So diligence, intentionality, to be focused.